Hey everybody, welcome to Fuelcast TV. This is our channel where we like to talk about everything, freedom, unity, entertainment, and liberty, all encompassed into a bunch of different stuff that we like to do. Podcasts, interviews, we do festivals, all kinds of stuff right here. You get exclusive content access, first reach to tickets, merchandise, all kinds of stuff, behind the scenes footage to our docuseries about the Iron Pig and the lawsuit and the shutdowns, all kinds of interesting stuff that you get exclusive access to by subscribing right now. Click that button below. We'll see you soon. Welcome to this week's episode of Fuelcast. I got the pleasure of playing in a local tournament here in Gaylord last week, one of a very unique, one-of-a-kind event. And it was fascinating to take part of. We were a semi-sponsor of the event. But I thought I'd reach out to Tim Corser from 517 Golf and have a little conversation. You know, I come from a golf background, so I've done plenty of these tournaments the last couple of years. We've done some festivals, so, you know, I was real curious to talk to Tim. I mean, this was a monumental undertaking by on his part, 517 Golf. And it was pretty cool to have John Daly in Gaylord, Michigan. Thank you for setting aside a few minutes to have a chat with us today. But, a lot of people don't really know the whole history of what happened with having to move your tournament from Polecat, and I've heard some things, read some things, but I kind of wanted to go right to the horse's mouth, the source, and I'd love to hear the whole story and as long or as brief as you want to describe whole train of events that happened. But I will tell you, I played in the event last week. I had a great time. The four or five other golfers that I played with had a wonderful time. These things are never perfect. I can attest to that just from a golf tournament side, a festival side. You know, you're combining a couple of the things, but I had a wonderful time. My entire group had a wonderful time. My wife and her friends had a wonderful time. So I know there are plenty of critics and everybody can always say, oh, you should do this better, you should do that better. But thanks for taking the time, brother. And you know, just let me hear it, man. I'm so curious as to, I know you've taken the last couple of days to recuperate, but this has been quite the undertaking, man.
It wasn't so much physical down until the end, but it's been a massive mental undertaking. But when we put this thing on sale last November, we started talking about it like the first week, or actually more so in October. I went on a media trip down south, and that's how I met someone on that trip that put me in touch with John's people. And next thing you know, the first week of November, we were putting this together. The original plan was to have it at the Polecat. And we just did an event there that October, and everything was great. We even met on site. The owners and stuff met with us, and we were even talking about like bringing out bulldozers and removing trees and stuff like that, you know, for people to attend. And, we were very honest about the cannabis aspect with everyone. It's not something we've hide. Like, we just did a cannabis event there with Afro Man in October of last year. So it's not anything that we don't tell anyone when we start working together. So we put the event on sale a few weeks later. We had all the paperwork and stuff done, and we put it on sale, and it sold out in like 3 days. In 3 days. And, next thing you know, it was just off to the races where we were like, well, what a way to start a year before we start a year, you know? And, ended up sending John all of his money and, you know, making sure everything was good on that end. And sometime about like, I think first week of February, I get a weird call from one of the managers at Polecat, and they just left me a voicemail saying that it was probably a bad idea to host our event, and that's something that they weren't sure that they were, you know, ready to stay committed to, and that we should probably find a new home for our event. So I don't know where that came from. It came out of nowhere. My guess is that the casino or somebody in high politics in that area convinced Dan and the staff to pull out of our event and not want to host that and maybe make that cannabis battle that, you know, like kind of like how we did in Gaylord. Which then, you know, at that point, I'm thinking we need to move this event anyways. There's a lot that kind of happened in between. We actually had another event in March that we decided to book in Arizona with John. And I didn't really want to do it because I was just so committed to the one in August. I'm like, why would I? We have something good here. Why would we want to go, you know, do something else, you know, to cut all of our work in half? And so at that point, the dispensary that wanted to work with John just kept being extremely they were persistent. They just kept bugging me about it, and finally I just caved, and we ended up sending our offer over to John. John accepts. We send the paperwork to the dispensary that wanted to do this, and we sign our end with John. And mind you, like, I wasn't really thinking in an aspect of like, oh, I need to wait until they sign their, like, we were already in the middle of doing events with these people. They've already written $20,000 checks to me, and I just executed my end, you know, on our end with John. And I thought that this would happen immediately on their end, like it did the previous couple times I've worked with them. And unfortunately it didn't happen that way. And they ended up like backing out of the event, making us liable for an additional, like, large amount compared. And it was I was already in for a large amount anyways for these 2 days.
Right. So
I got on the phone with John's people, and mind you, I sent him $40,000 like 5 months before it was even due. And I got on the phone. I was like, guys, can you please have a little bit of mercy on us? Can we move this event? Like, this is what happened. These guys backed out on us. I've lost my vendor, or I've lost my venue. I've lost my main sponsor. Can we rebound and put this in another city? And at that time we had never met John, and he basically told us to get bent, and we ended up having an X amount, which was already a lot. And then you already have to add another fee onto that. And at the same time, like, we're moving this to Gaylord, and that's when the witch hunt began on us. And I'm like, you know, I don't even know how, like, I don't even know how we saved this or even got through this event, because at that point you're looking at like $120,000 just to bring him. So, right. And it wasn't supposed to be that much. Right. So, and then when you lose a battle, when it seemingly looks so easy and like a community set up for what you're trying to do, and they tell you to go get lost, I just lost $100,000 in sponsorship money. So now I have all of this overhead that I have to cover and no fucking plan whatsoever, and having to rebrand my festival, relocate it. And now I've got like 4 months to pull this thing off. So, I mean, I don't know how we even really convinced the alcohol vendors to be a part of this, because in that world, if you're on the alcohol end, you don't want to be associated with cannabis brands, and if vice versa, right? So I've got all of these people that are already kind of in deep with the cannabis brand because they kind of respect the fight that we're up against, and they're supporting us. So that's where like Exclusive and Loom, they all got behind us. And it was pretty cool to develop those relationships and how they've panned out. They were coming to the chamber meetings and everything. So with that, you know, we found a way around. We lost the consumption battle. We lost the retail battle. So now I've got really no plan. So I'm sitting at home for like 2 days going, oh man, like we're so screwed. Like, so I was like, let's just contact these small breweries, these distilleries that might have, you know, $500 to pay a table fee. And let's let's start calling them and let's see what response we get. And immediately they were like, oh, John Daly, like, this is what you're trying to do. And I've come from that background of, you know, how to fluctuate of, like, you know, the bar doesn't have to buy all the product because what you don't sell will be taken back, kind of thing. So that right there put us in the driver's seat, because people, you know, I have to give thanks to Otsego, because without them allowing us to control the bar and what brands are being sold, I was dead in the water.
I partner with those same brands. And so I know how difficult it is to be squeezing these companies, and they have marketing budgets and all of these things. And there's rules that you have to, you know, with the Michigan Liquor Commission. So it's not easy. And, you know, I know Long Drink was a big part of it. Of course, Good Boy Cocktails, Good Boy Vodka was a huge part of it. And you know, those are wonderful beverages. You know, we're carrying them here at the Iron Pig, but. The original date for the first festival was, it never got changed, did it? It was always
planned. No. Yeah, it's always been the same date. We just had to relocate it.
Right on.
And people ask me, like, why did you have to relocate it? And honestly, I am just like everyone, I fight the universe when it tries to steer you in each direction you should be going into. And looking back at it now, I'm like, I understand why, because at the end there, I can't think of any other person in the state that I know that does events that can bring alcohol and these cannabis brands to get in the quantity that we did
right
together on the same grounds. There's a reason why, like, and at the beginning, you know, maybe it's a reason we're getting our butts kicked financially this year. Nothing we can't fix, you know, money's money, it can be made and things can be fixed over time. Like, I'm not worried about that, but what I love and what I think that this thing could happen is, like, I don't even think we need to sell anymore. I think that our fight kind of ends here, because I had all of the brands on site come to me, even Loom, who was out technically on the golf course, and they also had a booth in the vendor village. When I was taking her back out for the second hour, and she's like, we already contacted vendor or our corporate. This is the best non-consumption event we have ever been to. Like, we want to keep doing more. And that's what we kept hearing over and over and over again from the cannabis side of things. I know we did okay at the bar, and a lot of brands are happy and they got into the resort and all of that stuff. So I'm still waiting to hear more on that end, but exclusive, hell, they had 240, or I think they saw record 244 people through their door that day.
Wow, that's awesome. So
we don't need to sell. I mean, if we're able to give stuff away and gift it like we should have been, that's another story. But I think we have a perfect formula. Even if we moved it somewhere else, I wouldn't change it. I think we're in the dry. All of our bigger sponsors, Chicken Cock Whiskey, Long Drink, Good Boy, and Dark Horse, I know that they did very well. They had a great time. So I believe we're onto something great. And the biggest thing out of all of this, even though we took it like very bad financially and things are crazy right now and upside down, But John left happy, and the number one thing he said to me when we walked off the last green is he looked off the ski the lift over there, like the hill on number 9, and he goes, next year we got to add music. So, and his agent controls 70% of the PGA players. So, and he left and he was like, I'll call you next week. And I told him I needed a job after that. So I was like, I need a job for a while.
I'm curious about the consumption aspect of it. So for me, I'm a liquor license holder. The way that Michigan law is set up right now is I cannot be licensed in the marijuana cannabis industry, whether as a manufacturer or retailer. I cannot hold two of those licenses, which I think is bullshit, but that's a fight for another day. Right. But this is part of the reason why I'm interested in the consumption aspect. So we both know Al Witt, who's on city council here, and he's got an amazing story, which a lot of people are going to hear a lot more about. You know, this is a guy that went from being put in jail for selling weed, quote unquote, illegally, to finding himself elected to our local city council for Gaylord and helping craft the ordinance that then allowed recreational sales of marijuana here inside the city limits. And then, therefore, you guys went, and I'm pretty sure I was actually at one of those meetings where they turned it down. But I don't really recall exactly what city council's reasoning for turning down the consumption, because it would have been like a special use permit relatively, right?
You know, in my experience being the one standing up and talking in front of them, it was multiple things that towards the end, I feel like it became very personal. They just didn't like us. And most of them voted because that's kind of what they've been pounded in their minds this whole time. Like, they're just refusing to like think outside the box, I guess. At the very beginning, it was more so like, we didn't make all these ordinances for just to come in and change them, which I understand in a way where, you know, they were afraid also that if they opened the door for us, they would open the door for like 10, 15, 20 other people coming to town going, I want a license. And I mean, and the thing is, it's not very often that someone just comes to your town and brings John Daly.
Right.
So, you know, there's a little, I get both sides of it. It's just, you got 10 dispensaries, you know, we answered every rebuttal you gave us. And then it just got personal towards the end. One of the board members was literally saying that I called him a redneck on a video it just got out of hand. And I think after seeing what we did and the police chief being behind us and the police being out there, and there's no problems at all. Unfortunately, sometimes when you're at a level, you shouldn't have to prove yourself, but then you have to prove yourself again. I'm not mad at it. I took it personal at first because I felt like it was personal from their end, from the very beginning after we answered the first rebuttal. Mm-hmm. And then like, are you serious? Like another thing and then another thing and then another thing. Let's find out what the public thinks. And the public, there was like 6 people that showed up, same ladies. And they just, you know, and they just kept saying the community doesn't want you here. And then next thing you know, like 2 months later when we rebranded everything, and now I'm going in and filming at all these businesses and I meet you, I meet everyone else. I felt the exact opposite. I was leaving, going home, going, what the hell? Like we were walking in getting free meals and people were like, you're the golf guys. Like we love, thank you so much. Like it was completely the opposite of what it was painted in that room for us. And that's when it became like, you know, like I'm going to try to get in as much as I can with this community because it's not who we are from, you know, it was just, I don't know. It was really hard to swallow at the beginning, you know, but then I met everyone in the, like you, Pines, like people from Pine Squirrel, Alpine Tavern, Crave Pizza. It was just, list goes on and on. And you're like, I mean, now my girlfriend and I are wanting to move to the community. And it's crazy that you want to like move place that you thought like that didn't want you. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to say I told you so. And I'm not here to like, I'm grateful that I got to meet everyone and the journey that we're on, because it definitely paid a price on the financial end, but there's so much more to gain in the future, you know, over the next couple of years that we can do with this thing.
It's heartwarming to hear those comments. I'm disappointed, you know, with a few things and a few reactions from our community, but you know, they're within their rights to say those things. You know, there was a lot of the same comments were made during the ordinance process, especially when they said that we weren't, the city wasn't going to cap the number of grocery or retail shops that they were going to allow. But what a lot of people didn't know is that that's what the other communities were getting in legal battles with, limiting the number of permits and all this other stuff. So I heard a lot of those same comments at first. And, you know, once the pot shops opened and people realized that they weren't going to be on every single corner, even though there was probably one more than, you know, some people wanted. Tough shit. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
So it takes events like yours, people like you to push the boundaries a little bit. I can relate, you know, we kept our restaurant open during the pandemic, and a lot of people statewide, a lot of people in my own community were saying those same thing. My own friends, I lost a lot of friends over some of this COVID stuff, and not a single one of them ever really bothered to ask me why. So I understand some of those feelings where you're like, what, why are these, they don't even know me. Why are these people saying, you know, negative things, yada, yada. You know, they don't understand, you know, what it takes to put a golf tournament together, let alone a festival. I mean, you basically put together a concert, a festival, and a golf tournament, really without the music. But when you add in the John Daly stuff, and you add in Braylon, and you've got Darren, and you've got a softball game,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this thing. And you know, a lot of props have to be given out for taking on the cannabis thing to begin with, taking on the undertaking of bringing in John Daly. We did a festival a couple of years ago where we paid to have Dave Landau, Comedy Central comedian Dave Landau, come in, Michigan native, and he wasn't cheap. And Dave is such an amazing dude that we ended up turning this festival to a tornado relief fund because we had a tornado blow through here. And he decided, I mean, he cut his fee way, way down in order for us to give more money to the charity. And it's getting together with people like that. We fostered that relationship to this day, and we're getting ready to put together another podcast with him in the next couple of weeks. And having those relationships, you know, with a John Daly, with a John Daly's agent, with Good Boy, all of those people, Exclusive, all the way down to, you know, silly people like me and the Iron Pig. You know, we love to be a part of these things that are on the forefront and pushing the envelope. And yeah, you're going to piss some people off, but that usually means you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, so,
you know, I hope that, so let me ask you this question. You know, I have been a part of Otsego. Well, let me say first, I was a part of Hidden Valley Resort for a really, really long time. And inside Hidden Valley Resort was the Otsego Ski Club, which was private in the wintertime. And growing up here, I'm not originally from Gaylord or Michigan, but I graduated high school up here. So I was a snowboard instructor for the better part of almost 20 years on those ski slopes out there. And in the summertime, I was a bag boy, pro shop guy, all that stuff. So I know that property inside now, various owners. I think the current ownership has got a great vision for the property. Again, these things are never perfect, especially when you're putting on, I mean, basically three tournaments in 2 days is really what you were attempting to put together. So they're never going to be perfect. Sign-in is never going to go as well as it's, you know, cart placards or, you know, score sheets are going to be messed up. I mean, these things are going to happen, but from what I am hearing, it was pretty well put together. Of course, again, all these small deals. Yeah, we didn't get a list of names until 7:30 this morning. Well, zippity-doo-dah. You know, there are worse things, you know, have happen.
It definitely, I underestimated the setup time and a lot. Yeah, I mean, we got there Friday night. I started staking and getting the signs and the banners up at like 9 o'clock Saturday morning. And we went till like 10:30 at night, straight up. And I was like, you know, I quit it like at dark. And I'm like, I'll just get up early. We'll just get up early and I'll have a bunch of time. Cause I knew I was going to lose 95% of my staff at like 2:30 because everybody's going to the softball game until like seven.
Right.
And Sunday I staked myself. I staked and bannered 9 a.m. until 2:30 a.m. And then the first car to roll in for vendors was like 5:50. So I had to have my parking team in place by like 5:15 to make sure, you know. So I had like a few hours of sleep, and then just the madness begins, and you're still trying to set up everything that you don't have set up. And of course, it's a new venture for Otsego as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So for anybody listening, we're talking about Otsego Resort, formerly Otsego Club, formerly Hidden Valley. Beautiful, beautiful property. Two amazing golf courses. It used to be called Hidden Valley for a reason, because you don't know. You step out onto the edge and you see what, 25, 30, 45 miles out into what's the Sturgeon Valley. And it's one of the coolest spots in Michigan. So quite the venue, and a sprawling venue at that. So yeah, staking and all of that stuff. But I mean, what a place to be able to expand. I mean, so are you planning on doing this event again, or another event again at Otsego? Or are you thinking about changing it to a different venue, or you're not sure yet?
You know, I mean, I love the place. They treated us very well. I love Kim, Tracy, Kathy, Gary, everybody there. They love my family. They treat us so good. They're really good to my little boy, which is like the only thing I could ask for. They put us up a few times this summer to like come up and do community stuff and work on the event. And even though the golf course isn't, you know, they got two golf courses, I wouldn't say it's not A+. The tribute's A+. But it's not set up for what we're trying to do. You can't send people out on the tribute.
Right.
They'll get lost. You'll have to send out a rescue team.
Yep.
So it's like 7 miles out to the first tee box, or 7 minute rock cart ride. But anyways, switching up the nines and having number 9 be 18 for that tournament and having John finish on that hole. You're right. It's the most beautiful view out there other than being at a couple other places like treetops. I want to bring it back there. I've sacrificed pretty much everything I have. So yeah, I want to see it through, because there's nothing like 5 years from now going, look what we built when the odds were against us and we never left. Like, we never gave up on the place that gave up on us before they even know us.
Yeah.
So that's a lot to say about a person that stays somewhere that where they're not wanted and keeps banging their head against the wall until people are like, please don't leave. But like, I want to say, I want to come back. I know that we mission accomplished as far as, you know, making dailies people have, like, you know, John being happy, John saying, I want to come back that next year. He kept mentioning next year we should add music, da 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 da. Like, and I had a buddy of mine who's a business owner that bought the spot to play with him and sponsored that spot. And he could not be the most perfect person to like play with him. And they had a blast. So I got to give credit there. They were trash talking off and having That's a good awesome. Time. So, you know, it's a perfect place, and I really hope that we can work it out and come back. If we can't, I intend to do this festival again, because we're at a point where, you know, I said this to my wife the other night. I'm like, how do we lose everything we have, but we left here gaining like everything we needed to gain except for the finances, you know? I'm not saying that he's coming, and I'm not saying that all of these coming, but the people that we're working with left happy. That's my mission accomplished. My mission is also, like, there were certain small things, like, a lot of the people don't know that it costs more than a house to bring this guy to our town, to the town, you know? And with all the mishap, that's not their problem. There are certain things where I didn't get certain products on time because of the financial aspects to get them here overseas on time. So they're arriving next week kind of thing, and I'll make that right with the golfers. Like, those are things that we can fix. And, you know, with a little bit of rebounding and regrouping, next year, those things won't be a problem. And there are different ways that I feel we can add more value to the event. Like, you know, this isn't a knock on the venue at all, but halfway through we had to renegotiate because I'm like, this is crazy. Like, why am I paying? Why are all these outings paying this? And I'm paying, I feel like people see us as a massive dollar sign, but I'm not going to lie. We're a fucking headache. Like, we don't come to your establishment quiet. Like, we come, we set, we take over. Like, we request a lot, but guess what? Like, you're also doubling. Like, I know the venues we work with, they double their income when they work with us. So if you don't know that that's not going to come with extra problems, don't work with us.
Right. Right.
That's, I'm just saying, like, you know, so those are things that, like, have to be ironed out.
Well, and I'll tell you too, honestly, and this is just my personal point of view. When you're doing a first time event, there shouldn't be a high expectation that as the promoter or really the host of the event, that you're going to make money, right? So if the idea is to be doing an annual event or whatever it is, you want to at least prove your concept in your first year, right? And then make your talent happy. So either they're going to want to come back, or you've got testimonial to bring in new talent next year. Same with the vendors. Vendors are going to be clamoring and clawing to be a part of this next event. Sponsors are going to be clamoring and clawing to be a part of this event. And what I will tell you is golf has not, so we're the golf mecca up here, right? You know this. People listening may not know this. Gaylord is what we call the Gaylord golf mecca. I say there's 30 courses in 30 miles of I-75 exit 282. And that's no stretch of the imagination. So these types of events should be happening right here. I don't care if we're not a metropolitan area. That's specifically the reason why they should be coming here. But I will tell you that I heard a lot of comparisons to the last time that our region, the Gulf Mecca, was in any kind of news as it relates to professional golfers being in our area, was when Treetops used to do the par 3 shootout, when they had all the famous names. I mean, Mickelson was even playing out here with Fazio and all those crazy guys who were, there were so many. And I think they did that 4 or 5 years, at least something like that. And that was, at one point it was even televised. So there is a market for doing these kind of events, regardless if it's cannabis related or not. To me, that is the wave of the future as far as recreational activities are concerned, and especially in our community where, for lack of a better word, our community has embraced the cannabis industry, and we can see the fruits of that already in Michigan. If we stay on the path that we're on now, the numbers are saying that Michigan's going to end up being, what, the number two state by the end of the year, and that's with a terrible cannabis market right now. Pricing is down 40%, which is great for the consumer, but, you know, not some of these companies.
I would like for them to be able to sell. Like, if they, that what people don't understand is they think that the outside, they don't consume before you want to take a neck, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to buy product, they're going to take it home. Like, if I did this festival downstate, like 45 minutes above the border, I'd have 90% of my people coming from Indiana. Like, and even though we were like 4 or 5 hours upwards into Michigan compared to people in India, we had people come from Portland, North Carolina.
This is important, dude. Mm-hmm. This, I'm not, I don't mean to cut you off, but this is important. And I feel like, again, this is my personal point of view. I'm on social media a ton. Obviously I do a podcast. I'm in the marketing realm, have been for a long time, even especially in the golf space. I did not see a lot of support from some of our, take for example, you know, the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they were really involved. Our Gaylord Tourism Bureau, which also promotes the Gaylord Golf Mecca. I didn't really see them embracing this event. That is that what you saw on your end too?
You know, I love the Tourism Bureau. I've always been supported by them. So the problem was, is the chamber leads everything. So if the chamber decides that they don't like us and they don't want it, even though people below them support us, they can't really come out and
their members, their dues paying members.
Yeah. They can't publicly say it, which I understand and I recognize that. So I don't hold that to the people that are on the board that I know, because I know that they love and I know that they want me to win. Guys like Paul and Christy, I love them. I know that they supported us, but I also know at the same time, I kind of have to come in and do my thing. And then if I prove myself, which I believe we have, then now I believe that they have some ground to walk on. Because when I go into the next meeting, people like yourself, people like from Abby's Bistro, everybody that I spoke to before I left town that I know had a little bit of, if not a lot of increased business over that time frame, is gladly ready to come to the next meeting if we decide to, that's something we want to do. So I was hoping to get more people involved in the community on the business end, and maybe, honestly, I think I got the main core. If we're being real, I got yourself, Big Buck, Rusty Pelican, White Birch Outfitters, and man, I feel like I'm missing one. I had Alpine Tavern and Crave Pizza donate a bunch of gift cards and stuff. And
good people.
Yeah, those are all the main core. All I wanted was the Alpine Chocolate House, because I wanted
those chocolate covered potato chips are amazing.
Oh my god! I have to get it. I'm a little apple here. I've consumed so many of them this year, but that's it. I mean, I wanted more support community wise, and hopefully, you know, we handed out a bunch of free tickets out. We didn't get the attendance I wanted, and financially, obviously, but I know the only people that were unhappy were some of the golfers and real recognizing real. All my vendors seemed to be happy. All my people that attended the event, the spectators seemed to be happy. John was happy. I know Otsego made money. So in the end, after all this is done and wrapped up, they're going to be happy. And I know a lot of community in the businesses in the community were also doing very well. So mission accomplished. I'm going to take some time with my family, go back to the basics and go back to my customers that actually helped me get here. Like a lot of $600 and $1,200 that we charge to do this. And hopefully, with that being said, that's not something we wanted to charge. It's kind of like, you know, when the celebrity is like, this is how much we have to, that we want. And I decide that's a risk I'm willing to take. Then I got to charge those price points, you know, and those are something where, the things that we couldn't provide, you know, a couple of things in the package that we'll make right. Like I said, those are easy things next year where I think that if you sign up next year and you pay that amount of money, you should be able to play at least 2 days. So we're going to extend the amount, the length of the tournament, even include a hotel room, and have not only John play the last round with everybody in the tournament, but have like a really if we could make it happen legally, I would like to have a cannabis infused dinner. But at that point, I know the way that it's supposed to be set up that we've learned in the rules and regulations, you cannot have the chef make it. You can just add it. So that allows people that aren't into cannabis and don't want to eat it, they can still be in there. So there's all these things that we're, like our team, like even though we're exhausted, we're just, my team left there so wore out there, but they were like, I want to do it again. I can't wait to do it again. Like this is what, and so we've been spitting out ideas and stuff, which is, it's inspiring to know that you just begged your friends like 4 months ago to stay.
Yeah.
They want to do it again right yep. now. Like it's so crazy. Like, so I'm thankful that my friend, I got to say that I'm very grateful that I have, like you said, like when you go through stuff, you find out like who your real friends are and you have to leave people yeah. behind, but that's just the life filter, man. Like, and then when you have a lot of good people in your corner and all the people are weeded out, that's when you become super successful. So I feel like we're yeah. close.
Yeah, you build that team up, and my one thing I do remember kind of taking away, because I did have a talk with Chief Clays, our chief of police for City of Gaylord, after the meeting that denied the consumption permit. I've had some relatively similar conversations with our we have the social district downtown, which allows you basically an open intox beverage, really. So you can take a cocktail from my bar and you can go across the street to Crave likewise. So we've had these conversations about the community, you know, is and they suspend that during Alpenfest, and which is a little bit counterintuitive, but we, you know, I understand why. So we have these conversations about, you know, just baby steps. And, you know, some of the things in the ordinances or the marijuana ordinance, yeah, they're really hesitant to start changing and this, that, and the other. And they've said those exact same words to me about, well, you know, if we allow you to do it, you know, we're worried about, you know, then we have to let the next guy do it, which yep. is kind of bullshit. But again, I kind of understand where they're coming from. But I feel like now that you have had a successful first year where nobody was arrested, there was no belligerence, there was no issues that I am aware of. I think maybe somebody was given a warning out on like number 6 or something silly like that. But usually there are not cops on the golf course. They were all really awesome. Of course, I know most of them from my trials and tribulations with the Liquor Commission and all this crap that I went through. But my point, I guess, is that you've set the standard, the tone, the baseline for doing this type of event. And now next time, maybe more vendors, more people will jump on board and be willing to promote this event a little bit more. And I'm certainly not suggesting that you didn't do a good enough job promoting it. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But I feel like there are a lot of influencers out there that could take advantage of what you guys were doing.
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't help. I mean, we get a lot of comments are like, well, why would you ever want to do this on a Monday? I'm like, dude, it's not my choice. Like, John plays in tournaments. We have no idea if he's going to make a cut or not. Like, I would, if I would have done that on a Saturday, I would have 10,000 people out there with this many
right.
people handed out. So,
and that was going to be one of my other questions is whether or not, you know, if you felt like maybe the day might have contributed to, you know, not having quite the attendance that you wanted to. I mean, the golf was pretty much sold out. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We had about 3,500 people come through the door as far as attendance wise. But I was expecting that we would clear 5,000 easy just because of the response. Honestly, next year, I might just make it free, you know, free to come in. You know, I mean, not with parking, but like just free entry.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
are you, so you'd consider a different weekend? Would you consider, you know, something middle of the summer versus August, or?
It's hard to say because John only comes to Michigan yeah. once and it's at the end of August. So if we do it again, I'd have to, his agent is the one that, In my opinion, I would like to switch gears and get Ricky Fowler.
Oh, interesting.
Same.
Sure.
management, same person that represents John. They have Ricky. And also because we have a relationship started with Chicken Cock Whiskey, they have Kevin Kistner. So if I can somehow figure out a way to pull those three together in the same weekend, now I feel like we're talking about a real, real turnout. It just depends on schedules. But
yeah,
what people also don't realize, I was 5 seconds away from being able to get Kid Rock to show up last week or this week. He could
That'd be awesome.
His team was responding to me. They were asking for details. I gave him everything. He couldn't make it because he had some studio time in Nashville. But if I get this out, like all the footage we got, we're going to put a mashup video together and we're going to send it to his people and just be like, but after we were done conversing about it, they were like, please keep us in mind for the next one that you're doing. So, John's really good friends with Kid Rock.
Nice.
I think that there's a lot of things that are on the table. Jeff Daniels was considering coming at one time, Sam Hunt, Dustin Lynch, Bert Kreischer. I spoke to everybody. The only reason why none of them came is because they were busy. So there's just a lot that could happen with this. And I really feel like we're in a great spot. And then my girlfriend, my wife would tell me I'm fucking crazy because we're like, like a shit ton of money. So, but I mean, you can't take it with you when you die, man. It's just
right.
Just the story. So we'll just, you know, we'll have a corn nugget diet during the winter time and, we'll get back to work soon. I just got to give her, I'm going to give her some family time and then here about a month or so, we'll probably be back to work with this.
You got to keep the women in your life happy, my man. I definitely, my wife says the same thing. She goes, I don't know why you keep doing these things. And it's like, you know, the euphoria of, you know, putting on an event that people are having a great time at is in knowing that, you know, this was your brainchild or your idea, or you brought this group of people together and people are having an experience that they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to talk to John Daly and talked about barbecue with John Daly. I mean, I've got pictures. I've got video. I mean, that's something I can't put a price tag on that, man. So those experiential things are becoming more and more popular. And we're finding out that the younger generation are doing exactly what you just said. Instead of saving their money like prior generations, they're kind of YOLOing and just deciding that I want to live this experience instead of saving that, you know, $2,000 that it might have cost to come up and play golf and stay the night or do whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're doing that. So I think you're doing the right thing at the right time, and you're going to take some lumps, but that means you're doing the right damn thing. And you know, I don't want to sound condescending, but I'm proud of you, man. I think you got a hell of a good thing going. Don't let anybody discourage you. I've got some great ideas for you for next year. I've got a team of people that can help you turn this thing to the next level from locally up here, from things that we know that work, some ways that we can pre-sell, whether you're pre-selling rounds, pre-selling tickets, pre-selling parking. We partnered up with a company that does some really amazing things in the social media space with selling tickets, T-shirts, any kind of thing. But let me know when you get something kind of even remotely close to being finalized or thought about or whatever. You need feedback, let me know. Shoot me a text. I appreciate Timmy Buckets coming on the program today, my man. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work. Get some rest. And like I said, man, you need anything in the meantime, you got a crazy idea about how to do something anywhere in Michigan in the region, brother, let me know. And I've got an amazing team of weirdos that can do some cool stuff. And when you have people that want to join in, you know you're doing something right. It might not be perfect, but sounds like you've got a hell of a team started already. So congratulations.
I appreciate you, man. And you've supported us from day one, and you take care of us every time we come to town, man. And my family can't thank you enough. And I will take you up on that offer, because this thing is, I believe, it's bigger than us, and it needs more people that believe in it and understand the vision and know where it could go. And it's definitely you and a bunch, and there's a few other people up there. And like I said, I can't wait to get through this time and regroup and start figuring out a way to come back to that area and capitalize on it, man. So
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. I can't thank you enough, man. Spending almost 48-50 minutes here. You didn't have to do that, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you for everything, spending some greenbacks up here in our little northern Michigan town. It's a big deal. It's what we live on up here. My crew appreciates everything that you guys have done, the effort that your team has put out. I know everybody that I talked to had a great time. My entire entourage and crew had a great time with everything. So keep it up. Let me know if you need anything. In the meantime, get some rest. Enjoy your downtime. And I'll talk to you soon, brother.
I appreciate you, buddy. Love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. See ya.
See ya.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's Tim Corso from 517 Golf giving us a lowdown on the free chicken and beer festival that happened here in Gaylord just this last weekend with John Daly. We also had Darren McCarty from the Red Wings. If you don't know who Darren is, you better just click off right now. We also had Braylon Edwards from the University of Michigan. This dude's just an amazing athlete. So a great festival that was put on by 517 Golf. Just a fun time was had by all that I spoke to, a great nearly 3-day event that we hope will happen up here again. So greatly appreciate Tim for taking the time to come on Fuelcast TV. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. We're also on Locals. Go over there, donate $5 so we can put on things like this, bring interesting guests on the program, different things that we'd like to do, and support freedom, unity, entertainment, and liberty. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. We'll catch you guys soon. Thank you.